Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Rob Schneider, a comedian most famous for his leading roles in The Animal, The Hot Chick, and Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo. Asked to perform this week at a charity fundraiser for the Hospitals of Regina Foundation in Canada, Mr. Schneider had to be removed from the stage mid-performance because he persisted in telling jokes that offended the sensibilities of the host organization and their members. Specifically, he had the gall to make jokes about the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccination policies, sexual minorities, and our dear transgender othering. Even though the sold-out event raised over $350,000 for the charitable foundation, the hospital organization immediately distanced itself from Schneider's offensive content and issued a press release following the debacle, saying, "While we recognize that in a free and democratic society, individuals are entitled to their views and opinions, and that comedy is intended to be edgy, the content, positions, and opinions expressed during Mr. Schneider's set do not align with the values of our foundation and team. A decision was therefore made to ask Mr. Schneider to end his performance earlier than intended, to which he agreed and immediately left the stage. An unconditional apology was offered right after to our guests and our community. We reiterate this sincere and unconditional apology today for any offense caused." What a touching and profound denouncement of Schneider's inappropriate comedic performance. Now, I know that some commentators have asked how this could have possibly come as a surprise to the hospital organizers, since Rob Schneider has not been shy about his views and he is well known for saying offensive things. But to this we say, what a brilliant move. Invite someone to an event under the guise of performing comedy. Wait for him to fall into the trap of saying offensive things and then rip the microphone out of his hand and publicly apologize for his indecency. But the HRF has now actually gone the extra mile. All references to Schneider and the event have been completely scrubbed from the foundation's website. It's as if it never happened at all. This charade of faux outrage and revisionism is the sort of thing that Winston Smith could only dream about in George Orwell's classic instruction manual, 1984. Baiting a heretic into openly espousing his sins, humiliating him publicly for his transgression, and then purging all records of his very existence at the event? Bravo, Canada. Bravo. We Americans can only stand back and watch in awe at how efficient you have become at restricting the liberty and expression of the unrepentant. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, again. This time for his signature on HB 1203, a bill that dramatically reduces the power of homeowners associations to regulate the behavior of their residents. This new law stops HOAs from doing some very important work. HOAs can no longer tell you how to decorate the interior of a home if you can't see that decor from the street. HOAs can't prohibit vegetable gardens or air conditioning units in the backyard anymore. HOAs can't forbid residents parking their cars in their own driveways anymore. HOAs can't even penalize residents for having garbage cans out within 24 hours of scheduled pickups. And perhaps most horrifyingly, HOAs can no longer issue fines for residents who leave holiday decorations up for too long. All of this, of course, leads us to ask, well, then what are HOAs even able to do now? As all of you who have completed your Level 3 coursework on advanced studies and preparing the modern American for more effective thought control know, the invention of the Homeowners Association was actually one of our order's greatest accomplishments. At the 42nd Annual Conclave on Global Sheepification held in 1963 at the Mephistopheles Institute in East Timor, our order first proposed the creation of a paragovernmental regulatory concept that would serve to control people's lives in minor, inconvenient, and capricious ways so that they would become more amenable in general to intrusive regulation by actual governments. From this conclave was born the original idea of the HOA, a perfect vehicle for training covenant-restricted community residents that the will of the individual must always be subordinated to the will of the commune, or community, and embedding the idea of not offending your neighbors in the root-level consciousness of the average American suburban psyche. Dear brethren, sistren, and otherin, for over 60 years, your order has successfully transformed the American social landscape with HOAs and their arbitrary enforcement of obscure rules through fear, threats, intimidation, and fines. Obviously, this is such a wonderful framework from which to grow the necessary social virtue of unquestioning submission to authority that our religion prioritizes. As we like to chant, He who obeys the HOA will always do what other men say. And to see the reprehensible governor of the free state of Florida take any steps to interfere with these intrusions on private property and liberty by HOAs is really a step back toward a country in which people control their own lives? For shame, Governor DeSantis. For shame. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, our strongest congratulations for the forward-leaning thought leaders at the Naval Special Warfare Command, the home of the Navy SEALs. As you all know, we're now smack in the middle of our favorite month of the year, June, which of course celebrates the righteous and pure pride of the entire holy acronym string in all its shifting forms and flavors. Well, to kick off Pride Month, the social media for the SEALs posted a simple, elegant, and utterly inclusive rainbow-themed picture with the words NSW, for Naval Special Warfare, Dignity, Service, Respect, Equality, Pride, beneath the official logo of the SEALs Command. What a profound expression of solidarity with the rest of the military community that sex and sexual love, in any form, at any time you find it, is utterly compatible with the military mission, period. Now, some of the heathen who hang on to their repressive traditional sex ethics have expressed outrage that the SEALs, perhaps the last obscure bastion, the last secure bastion of traditional masculinity, would so publicly convert to the way of the rainbow warrior. But are we to believe that any military unit is better off without a culture of open and loving sexuality? Of course not. Yes, even though NSW and NSFW are different acronyms, we see now how they can really represent the same thing. But there's a deeper meaning here, which we also want to celebrate. At one time, the U.S. military was a haven for people who believed in repressive traditional values like God, country, and the existence of just two genders. This, of course, facilitated recruiting from the vast pool of religiously conservative young men who were eager to serve their country. What we have gradually been doing, of course, is make the military a place of such hostility to those values that the older service members who hold them leave voluntarily, and so that the young people who hold them have no interest in enlisting. Could there be any more profound statement by the Pentagon that there really is no place left in the American military for people who cleave to their antiquated views of morality and religion than bringing the pride rainbow to the SEAL teams? As the new slogan of the NSW proclaims, make love, not special warfare. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
If you are a first-time visitor, please fill out the mandatory paperwork found in your announcement pamphlet. We no longer call them bulletins for obvious reasons. Under the portions requesting evidence of your virtue, just put your social media accounts and an estimate of how much money you gave to Greenpeace, the Sierra Club, and the National Organization for Women last year. Also, be sure to join us after the service in Peopleship Hall for some casual conversation about generally insignificant topics. Trust us, it's a very safe space. Refreshments this week are provided by Once Bitten, Twice Dry, the all-natural flavor-enhancing powder made from the dehydrated blood of vampire bats. Long revered by the Apumoni peoples of southwestern Guatemala for its restorative powers and as a homeopathic remedy for everything from premature hair loss to canine incontinence, try Once Bitten, Twice Dry, a seasoning whose taste, the virtue of which you just won't believe.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.